If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to look at the book of Romans, chapter number 1. I want to look at the first verse, and then we'll skip down to verse number 8. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We'll leave off reading right there. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. And Lord, I pray you'd speak to us by your spirit, by your power. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to stand. Lord, there's nothing good about us. There's no ability. There's no experience, Father, that would equip us to be able to stand today. Father, you know inside my very being right now, I'm very troubled, very anxious. And I pray, God, you'd settle that. I pray, God, you'd help us this morning to faithfully deliver what you have laid upon our heart. And help us, Father, that we can be very plain with our words. And I pray, God, that you would speak to hearts today. Help us, Father. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Paul is writing the book of Romans from Corinth. And he said to us in verse number 14, I am debtor. Verse 15, I am ready. And verse 16, I am not ashamed. Now you do remember that Paul met Jesus on the Damascus Road. And Paul asked Jesus two very important questions. The first thing he asked Jesus was, who art thou, Lord? Jesus told him. Second question was, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, there are two questions this morning that you need to get settled in your mind. Who is Jesus to you? And then what would Jesus have you to do? Immediately, Paul began to follow Jesus in the way. And I'm glad this morning that I have settled it many years ago. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. And I'm sure that I know what the Lord has told me to do. And I want to be faithful to his voice and his commandments to do it. I want us to look, first of all, at that phrase, I am debtor, found in verse number 14. And I believe that this tells us that, number one, Paul was faithful to the obligations of the gospel. Now, preacher, what do you mean? How could he be a debtor when salvation is free? You ever heard this? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. So that tells me, first of all, this morning, three things about being a debtor. Three things about being faithful to the obligations of the gospel. Number one, we are indebted to the Savior. You realize he gave everything that he had that we may be saved. Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, this morning you and I could never work enough. We could never pay enough for salvation. It is free. But because it's free, we are eternally indebted to the Savior. I think we're also indebted to the saints. Paul was. You remember Paul when he arrested, when they had arrested Stephen, and Paul held the coats of them while they stoned Stephen to death? And he heard Stephen say, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I believe that Stephen got that from Jesus. When Jesus was lifted up on the cross to die, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I believe that brought Paul under conviction when Stephen said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I believe he saw the righteousness and the truth that Stephen stood for, and Paul knew that it was not found in his life. And I want you to know that as Paul died, you remember what he said? He said, Lord, don't lay this on their charge. What he said, those very same words. I believe Paul was indebted to those that were martyred for the faith. You, so are we. We're indebted to the saints, Preacher Darren. I'm not in debt to a saint, really. How did you get the seat that you're sitting on now? Who vacuumed the carpet under your shoes? Who is it put the windows and the bricks on this building? How was it this church came about obtaining this property? For this facility is built so this body of believers could come together. I'm telling you what, somebody here years ago had a vision. Some people put together blood, sweat, tears, and sacrifice that you and I would have a place to come and worship. And we're indebted to the saints that had this vision. We're indebted to our forefathers that went on before us, who preached the gospel, who declared boldly unto us that we needed to be saved. We're indebted to them. Amen. We're indebted to the Savior. We're indebted to the saints. But what Paul is really speaking about here is we are indebted spiritually. He said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. He's saying, I am in debt to the cultured and the uncultured. I'm in debt to the wise and the uneducated. I'm in debt to the rich and to the poor. You know, everybody needs to know about Jesus. And you and I owe it to the world to tell them about Jesus. Paul is almost saying that he is in a smoke-filled room that's been poisoned by gas. And he has gas masks. And he says, I owe it to everybody here to put your mask on so that you can breathe and escape. You realize you and I are indebted to the Greeks and the barbarians. We are indebted to the educated and the uneducated. We are indebted. We owe the world the gospel. What are we doing to get out the message that Jesus saves? What are we doing to witness? What are we doing to testify? I would liken it unto this. Let's say that the governor has a pardon. He signs that pardon. It's for a man who's on death row waiting to be executed. He comes and gets his delivery boy. And he says, I want you to take this pardon down to Warden so-and-so at such and such prison. That man that's on death row has been pardoned. I want you to take it to him. Go. Brother Ronnie takes that pardon and he heads down to that penitentiary. But as he's going, he remembers, my wife told me to pick up milk and bread and a few other items. I better get that while it's fresh on my mind because I'm a man and I'm liable to forget. He stops at the store. And while he's there, he sees his buddies. And they talk about the fishing trip and the hunting trip. And he says, well, I sure would like to go fishing for the rest of the day. And he goes and does that. Finally, at the end of the day, he goes and sees some more of his buddies and talks with them. And he decides, well, it's late in the evening. I'll go on home, bring my wife these things. Somehow he kept the water cool by setting it down in the creek side or in the river, the milk cool, and he brings that back, and his wife and he have supper that night, and they go on to bed. They get up the next morning. He runs errands. He goes about his day. He's very busy. He's got people to see, things to do, people to counsel with, people to talk to. And later on, about a week later, sitting at his house at 11 o'clock at night, the news comes on. He sits down, tired from another weary day, and he sees up on the newscast a man's picture flashed with his name that says, today this man was executed by the state. And Brother Ronnie says, wait a minute, that name rings a bell. And he reaches into his coat pocket, he pulls out that pardon, and sure enough, it's the same name of that guy that was just executed on TV. And the reason he was executed was Ronnie didn't get him the pardon. We owe the world the gospel. Jesus has given to us the pardon to carry out. What is the pardon? The gospel of Jesus Christ has been committed to me.
has been committed to you, and you owe it to your family. You owe it to your neighbors. You owe it to your friends to carry them the gospel that Jesus saves. You may say, preacher, I'm not a debtor. I just paid everything off. I'm not talking about the bank. I'm not talking about your charge card account. I'm talking about we owe the world the gospel. Number two, he was flexible with the opportunities of the gospel. He says in verse number 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Please understand, he said he was ready. Three things about this that strikes me. Number one, Paul was ready to live. He told us, to live is Christ. He knew both how to abound and to be abased. He knew how to abound and suffer need. He knew what it was like to be full, and he knew what it was like to be hungry. And he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am in therewith to be content. Here he was. One day he would come to Rome, and he would be in prison for over 2 years. And he was chained every day to the guards that make up the Praetorian Guard. And they change shifts every 6 hours. Two men, one on his left, one on his right, that he'd be chained to. That means that every day he would be chained to 8 different men. And don't you know, if you're chained to Paul, you're going to hear the gospel. You're going to hear about Jesus. Whether you want to hear it or not, you may smite him and say, shut up. But he's going to say, I forgive you and Jesus loves you. I mean, over and over again. And for over 2.5 years, he would have met many of the soldiers that make up the Praetorian Guard. Over 7,300 different men that he came in contact with. And don't you know there was many of them got saved? Guarantee you. Preacher, how do you know? Because Philippians chapter 4, down towards the end of the chapter says, that the saints salute you chiefly, they that are of Caesar's household. Hey, the Praetorian Guard got saved by the thousands, I believe. He knew to live is Christ. He was ready to live, but he was also ready to die. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know what he said in 1 Corinthians 15:31? I die daily. He said in Philippians, what things were counted to me, were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Listen to this verse, Acts 21:13. For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. You remember what he said there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6? For I am now ready to be offered. Hey, man, the time of my departure is at hand. Can you imagine when they came and got Paul and they began to lead him away and said, we're going to chop your head off, Paul. You're going to die. He said, it's all right with me. And aren't you scared? Nope. Aren't you afraid? Nope. Can't we terrorize you, torment you? Nope. Why not? He said, it's all right. I've been practicing for this. I die daily. I'm ready to die. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to suffer martyrdom for Jesus Christ. Hey, to live is Christ, but to die is gain, boys. You're helping me out. Let's go on. I believe Jesus laid down his life on the cross willingly. They didn't have to wrestle him down, pin him down. I believe he put his hands out on that cross and said, go ahead and nail him, fellas. I'm ready to die. You don't have power to stop this anyway. I have the power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it back again. So Paul was ready to live. Are you ready to live? Are you ready to die? I think what Paul's saying here is he's also ready to go. Preacher, what do you mean? I am ready to preach the gospel. Boy, there's been times when the Lord laid something hot on your heart and you're just ready to go, ready to preach, ready to witness, ready to testify. David Livingstone, what a great missionary. Listen what he said. Lord, send me where you will, but go with me. Lord, lay any burden on my heart, but sustain me. Lord, sever any tie, but the one that binds my heart
to thee. I think about my grandparents and I cannot get this image out of my mind. Oftentimes as a youth, we'd go over about every weekend and see my grandparents in Madison County. And after we'd fellowshipped and loved there with them for a while, it was time for us to go back home to Henderson County where I lived. Daddy had a job. We hugged him by and we got in the car. And as we were backing away, I could still see my grandma and my grandpa with his arm around her, waving goodbye to us with tears running down their face. And as we pulled out down the road there, that image of my grandparents remained in my mind. They were saying goodbye to us, and we were saying goodbye to them. It takes a lot of grace to leave, but it takes more grace to stay. Some of you, the best thing you'll ever do is close the book on it and move on. But it takes more grace to stay. Grandma and Grandpa wanted to go with us so bad, but they knew we had a life and Dad had a job and we had a family and they needed to stay right there. And with scalding tears running down their face, they stayed put. And there came a day in their life where Grandpa said to us, "I'm going home." And tears rolled down our face. As Grandpa left this world and departed for heaven's splendor, took grace to leave. But I think it takes more grace to stay. Oh, how we miss him. Preacher, what are you getting at? Please understand, Paul said, "I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to preach if I'm at Corinth. I'm ready to preach if I'm at Rome. I want to preach where God sends me to preach. And if God moves me to preach, I'll preach there. And if God keeps me here to preach, I'll preach here. Whatever the will of God is, that's what I'll do." Paul said, "I am ready to go and do the will of God no matter what else comes in my life." I'm asking you, are you ready to follow the will of God? Look at the verse again. "As much as in me is, I am ready to preach." You hear me? His commitment was not half-hearted. As much as in me is, he was 100% committed to serving Christ. Are you? Are you 100% committed to being faithful to the house of God? Are you 100% committed to being faithful to read the Word of God? To pray for your family, to pray for your friends, to pray for your enemies, to pray for the lost? Oh, I dare say, as Paul said he was ready, you and I are not flexible to the opportunities of the gospel. Number three, he says in verse 16, "I am not ashamed." He's fearless to the opposition of the gospel. Preacher, what do you mean? Well, I believe with all my heart he's got a lot of reasons to be intimidated. Why, preacher? Well, he's going to go to Rome. He's wanting to go to the capital of the world, and he wants to stand up and tell them about a Jew that they just crucified, one named Jesus. And he's going to stand up and tell them that Jesus is alive and Jesus has forgiven him and saved his soul. Now, this message comes from Jerusalem, where Jesus had been crucified and was buried and was raised again. And the Romans would have looked and said, "Are you crazy? I mean, Jerusalem is a conquered city. We are a free city. Jerusalem is a captured city, under affliction, under bondage. And you're going to come tell us about one named Jesus, a poor, lonely carpenter? You're going to tell us that he's the Messiah?" I'm telling you what, the world would have laughed at him. Listen to what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, that he was a fool for Christ's sake. Verse 13, he was made as the filth of the world, as the offscouring of all things. You think about what it's like to scour your countertop or your stove and all that nasty stuff. You rake it into the garbage can or you rush it down the sink. Paul said, "I am the scum of the earth for telling you about Jesus. I'm viewed as a fool. They laugh at me every day. But I'm not ashamed of Jesus." I believe there's four things Paul's not ashamed of. He said, "I'm not ashamed of his person." I'll ask you a question. Are you ashamed to carry his word? Are you ashamed to lay his word on your desk at work? Are you ashamed to carry his word into the department store. You'll carry your pocketbook. You'll carry your money. Listen, some of you buy things, they don't fit, or they're broken, and you're not ashamed to take them back. But are you ashamed to take God's word with you wherever you go? Are you ashamed to pray publicly, openly? Are you ashamed? The Hindus will lay on a bed of nails because they're that devoted to their God. And the Baptists can have a Sunday night service and they won't come back. There was a little boy one time. He was asked, said, son, what kind of dog do you have? He said, that's a police dog. The man said, he looks like a mangy mutt to me. He doesn't look like a police dog. How can you say that dog is a police dog? He said, I'll have you know this dog's in the Secret Service. There's a lot of you run around here and say, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of him. You'll sing it in the house of God. But when it's time to stand up and praise him for it, it's all you can do to do it in the house of God. And if you're ashamed to do it in here, I promise you, you won't do it out there. And the problem is, you're in the Secret Service. Nicodemus, for a while, was in the Secret Service. Joseph of Arimathea was in the Secret Service. They served Jesus secretly out of fear. But after they saw him die on a cross for their sin, they were willing to stand up and say, I want the body of Jesus Christ. I want to anoint it. I'm going to anoint his body. I'm going to lay it in this new tomb. I'm going to roll a stone in front of the door. And praise God, on the first day of the week, up from the grave, our Savior rose. Hey, if we're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of us. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of his person. Hear what I'm going to tell you. Somebody wrote a letter to the pastor, reminding him of his sinful past, pointing out his faults and the faults of his family, and said, how can you stand up there and tell us how to get right with God, knowing you've done all these things in your life? Aren't you ashamed? God's going to get you. The pastor was brokenhearted. He stood up behind the pulpit and he did what was unthoughted. He began to read that letter to the entire congregation, word for word. He bowed his head in tears and he prayed. When he finished praying, he looked up to the congregation and he said, yes, all of this is true. And I am ashamed of myself, but I'm not ashamed of Jesus, who has forgiven me. And I'm not ashamed of Jesus, who loves me. Are you ashamed of his person this morning? How about his purpose? Paul said it is the power of God unto salvation. His purpose, it's intended to save people from the wreckage of sin. Now, it's tragic to lose your health, to lose your wealth, to lose your loved ones, to lose your life. But how much more tragic is it to lose your own soul? Only the gospel of Jesus that Paul is unashamed of can rescue the perishing and can care for the dying. I don't want to be ashamed of my Savior. I don't want to be ashamed of his scriptures. Amen. I don't want to be ashamed of his saints. Are you ashamed of his power? The power of God is, the word here is dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. Listen to these verses. Luke 4:32, for his word was with power. Luke 5:17, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. John 10:18, he had power to lay down his life and power to take it back again. Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. The power of the Lord is more powerful than any nuclear or atomic bomb. If this morning this were an atomic bomb, and you attach this inside the lapel of my coat, and you button it real tight, and you detonated it, boom, you'd kill me. And when you went and looked for my body, you'd probably not find it. It'd probably be vaporized. It'd be burned up, completely gone. You'd never find it. And as powerful as that nuclear or that atomic bomb would be, it still could not have taken sin out of my heart. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has power to take away sin and to forgive us of our sin. And I am not ashamed of his purpose or his power this morning. You understand that when he saved me, he said, as many as received them, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I'm done here. I'm not ashamed of his plan. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel plan, oh glory, it's gloriously simple, but it's simply glorious, isn't it? Please understand, it's for whosoever. John 3:15, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. John 12:46, whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Acts 10:43, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. John 9:33, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Romans 10:11, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. I'm not ashamed of his person, of his purpose, of his power, or of his plan. One day there was a fire at the school, and I want you to know that everyone was called. And as they arrived, there were students still trapped upstairs in that burning building. One daddy that stood there saw his son waving, trying to throw open a window, and he said, "Daddy, can you save me?" The building was so much in fuego, inflamed, that the firefighters were even holding back those that were trying to do desperate things. And the daddy watched in desperation. He said, "Son, I'm powerless to save you from those flames. Daddy, can you save me? Daddy, you can do everything." He watched his son as that boy succumbed to the flames and he died. He grieved himself to death. 2 years later, he himself, that daddy, he went to his own grave. What I want to say to you this morning is, there's only one that can save, and his name is Jesus.